You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I don't know what's going on around here. I mean, people, you can't let me go because when I leave, all hell seems to break loose.
What is that, velvet?
Oh, snap.
What do you got?
Yeah, well, this is the point of the segment, right?
I thought the point of the segment was to inform the people.
No.
Does your finger get tired?
What would you like me to talk about?
Who's going to bring in Russell Wilson?
I think he would actually be a great fit with the New York Jets, and here's why. Oh, my gosh.
Why do you want to
Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson?
Absolutely.
It's 8:49 a.m. Mike T about to make me go downstairs in my bar and take a shot of tequila. I don't know who has more magic in their finger. Is it Jeff or is it E.T.?
I'm playing hurt.
I told you, Scrooge McDuck, quit counting all that money.
I almost couldn't stay for this, Lewis, but I know you needed me.
Let's go.
That's not quite the same as what Jeff's doing.
That is a skill.
Kyle Korver. The answer is you.
Oh, Tim.
It's a very strange gift.
It makes for delightful off-season content. Who did it better? We don't know for a fact that Jeff is not currently on a unicycle.
Who knows if I'm even wearing pants?
Good fun all week, Kras. Thank you for being here, Brian Custer, and everybody. It's such an honor that you choose to get up with us every single morning here. And by the way, I will mention, Hembo and I went through the records. Yesterday was the first time we had a sneaky Hembo question in which the person guessing the answer was himself the answer.
He tricked me.
And that person got it wrong. It's never happened before.
I got teased a lot yesterday, but he tricked me. He changed the minimum number of attempts for the question. That's why I missed
it. How did he trick you? He asked you a question to which you were the answer. The obvious guess is you. Rex Ryan has guessed himself when it had no chance of being right. Mark Sanchez guessed himself.
I'm just that humble. I didn't want to be honored.
I have never guessed myself.
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be, who is the person who owns Hembo when it comes to these things? All right. With that, we have another hour coming your way. We're live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The squad is ready to roll. We got Tim Hasselbeck today. We got Brian Windhorst. Stephen A. is coming up. NBA second half starting last night. And let's watch the chef because he was cooking up some curry last night. Steph and the Warriors, they've been hot. No LeBron for the Lakers. And early on, just look at this pass.
Oh, what are we going to do without this guy one day? Just the entertainment value. Like, has no idea where Wiggins is. Just knows you're down there somewhere. Takes a quick glance. Make sure he finishes it.
There's something so ridiculously pretty about his game, and then a little fall away here.
Stop on a dime, create separation for a guy that's not very big, and it just stops, and it's automatic.
He had 25 points in the first half. Anthony Davis had a good night.
He's been playing great, and he's big, a lot bigger than Golden State's front line, so you knew he was going to put up some numbers.
He had 27 points, 15 rebounds, but again, more Steph. I mean, they're just doing what he does better than anybody in the history of the sport.
Margin for error is so small defensively against him because he just needs a very tight window to get that shot off.
They were way ahead. Now, the Lakers sort of made this a game. We're in the third quarter. It's a 10-point game. Look at Steph working in the paint.
How clever. Like behind the back first to elude Reeves, splits the double team, and then the reverse English on the layup.
And then one more here on a feed from Draymond. Steph finishes with 32 points, 8 assists. Warriors an easy win. And after the game, Steph talking about the ups and downs of a season currently pointing up.
Our season's been all over the place, and for us to just stay in the moment, stay in the present. We know if we can get in the playoffs, we're a tough out no matter who we play, but you got to get there. So that's how we're focused on.
Well, so we'll put our focus on the current standings in the West, and there you see it. And Golden State, as we speak right now, is very much in the play-in situation, and they will need all kinds of things to happen to get all the way up into that number six spot. So that could mean, as Steph said, getting into the playoffs is the first battle before you start doing damage there. But, Wendy, you know, you and I were talking before the show this morning. For people who haven't been paying close attention, going back for something approaching a month right now, the Warriors are playing really well.
Yeah, they lost that game the last time they played the Lakers at home. It was January 27, double overtime. Steph's ripping his jersey coming off the court. They're five games under 500, and Steve Kerr got up on the podium after the game and said, "We're still going to have a special season." And it kind of felt like he was trying to speak it into existence, but he really did see this team going in this direction. It's 9-2 since, number two offense in that span, number seven defense. Two big changes to the starting lineup. Jonathan Kuminga, now a mainstay in there, alongside Draymond Green as their front line. Their scoring in the paint has gone way up. Brandon Pajemski, when the big gutsy move to put him in place of Klay Thompson, they keep moving the ball much better with him. They're much more efficient, and they got a shot. They are a dangerous team, guys, when they're playing this well, especially offensively.
If I'm trying to pick one of these two teams, look, you got the two legends. You have the defining players of their generation. LeBron James on one side, Steph Curry on the other, all their meetings in NBA finals and everything else. If I'm trying to figure out which one of them has the dangerous team this year to make the kind of run that LA made a year ago, which is it?
Coin toss, but I would lean Lakers because of LeBron. LeBron factor and what he does, the defenses, and the way that he can just control the pace of the game, control everything that happens on that end of the floor for his team. And you know that he's going to play his best when the situation requires it. So for me, it's just the physical stature of LeBron and what he does and what it requires to be able to stop him and guard him and not allow him to control the game and dictate pace. That's why I would lean Lakers, but when the Warriors are playing this well offensively, you know, it'd be scary for anybody to get that team in a best of seven in the first round.
So very quickly, before I move on to some other games here, I tried to sell my man Legler here on the idea that going back to the reporting that Woj and Ramona had about or right before the trade deadline, of the idea that someday these two join forces. And I got people yelling at me, "No, Greeny, this is a defining rivalry of their time." LeBron James and Steph Curry don't have a rivalry. Their teams play each other all the time, but they don't play against each other. Magic and Larry had a rivalry. Russell and Chamberlain had a rivalry because they would go head to head. LeBron's doing his thing. Steph is doing his. I want to see it happen. Next year, before it's all over, I want to see these two historical greats. Wendy, I'm asking you to tell me there is a chance it happens before they're done.
I think it's highly unlikely. Because I feel like the Warriors are not going to go into the tax next year. Joe Lacob has said that. The only way they could do it is by trading for LeBron. And I think no matter what you want to say, LeBron's playing for that $50 million next year. He doesn't want to leave L.A. He wants to be a Laker. I think that's what happens. But if you're asking me if I can totally rule it out, I would not and I could not.
He's telling me there's a chance, Legler.
that's how you chance. Took that, huh?
And you're sitting there as a hater telling me, no, you want to see this rivalry. I do not. Look, I understand that LeBron and Steph have been the two defining players of their generation. I understand that because LeBron played most of his career in the Eastern Conference. They met in the finals all those times, including all those years in a row. But at the end of the day, I still don't consider them to be rivals. They're too friendly to be rivals, in my opinion. They're not Magic and Larry. I want to see it happen before they're done.
So you're going Lloyd Christmas, Dumb and Dumber. 100%. You're saying I have a chance.
Correct.
Let's call that one in a million talk, right?
That's exactly
where you're
right.
at right now.
Yes.
I'm going to say there's no chance of it. And look, LeBron, despite all of his cryptic things that he does with his emojis of the hourglass and wearing the Knicks towel around his neck and all the stuff he does to create that buzz, I also believe what he said the other day. And he said he can see himself and wants to finish his career in Los Angeles. I think there's a big reason why he orchestrated being there in the first place. I think he's comfortable. He's cemented his legacy. He knows what he is and where he ranks historically, right? So I don't think necessarily he's going to go chasing it. Now, as far as the Steph LeBron thing, I will say this. I agree they're not rivals in that sense, but they did. Those two teams had to go through each other year after year after year.
Yeah.
So there is something about the old school guy like me or the purist that says, no, I don't want those guys to pair up.
I get it.
You know what I mean? It's like after all that, you're going to go play together. Like, I think some people wouldn't want to see that.
No, I understand. A lot of people, believe me, try walking the streets of New York with me right now. Everyone is telling me they don't want to see it. And I'm telling them that they're wrong. And like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Meanwhile, great game last night. Not great, but telling game last night amongst Western Conference contenders. You got Luka on one side. You got Devin Booker on the other. You got Kyrie running the floor.
Absolutely incredible. And look, as spectacular as it was, you see the bench reaction. They saw it right away. Nobody else really saw what he did. Oh. It looked like he went to his left. He kept it in his right hand the entire time with the scoop and the English.
In the meantime, I mean, you were a three-point shooter. Just watch Luka.
Well, he just gets so dialed in. And when he gets going like this, first of all, it's the most unstoppable shot in all of basketball because he can get it off whenever he wants with his strength and his size. And when he starts hitting it, now you've got a whole nother level of a problem on your hand trying to defend this team.
He was 6 of 11 from 3. Here's Durant knocking one down in the third quarter. He would score 23. And then his buddy Devin Booker would get red hot.
Yeah, he was great. And he's got that look in his eye. He senses it and tastes it, too. This is his best opportunity this year playing alongside Kevin Durant. And what a running mate for Durant to have. And Booker was sensational.
He scored 35. That makes it a four-point game. Fourth quarter, it's a nine-point Dallas lead. Look at more Kyrie in the painted area.
He's electrifying. And you know, this is what you miss when he's not playing. And when he's locked in and engaged like he is right now, this is what he's capable of. And you see Luke and Kyrie, the chemistry there. It's just at a different level this year.
Kyrie had 29. Luka had 41 plus 11 assists and 9 rebounds. The two of them score or assist on 100 points last night for the Mavericks. So don't look now, but you have been making the point all morning long. A new audience joins us here at the top of this new hour. I can just tell from the way you're talking, you think the Mavericks have a legitimate shot at something special this year.
I absolutely do. And in fact, they made these changes to their roster at the trade deadline in just enough time. I think Luka Doncic, right now for me, might be the front runner to win MVP in this league. They're going to start to climb the ladder, I believe, in the West. There's a little bit of a gap there to get to 4. I don't know if they can do that if there's enough time left. They've got more road games than home games by a good margin the rest of the year. That's going to be difficult. But there is absolutely something about this team right now when I'm watching them. There's a belief there that was not there before. I do think Dallas legitimately could make a run at coming out of the Western Conference the way that they're playing right now, assuming that Kyrie Irving stays healthy and he stays this engaged and locked in and he looks this hungry for it. There's no doubt Luka feels that way, and now they've got enough pieces around him, Greeny. I absolutely love what I'm seeing out of this team right now.
They made the sorts of trades before the deadline that don't get a lot of attention but actually might make a lot of difference, and they seem to be heading in that direction. So here we go. There's a fascinating little dynamic here. It was Kevin Durant against Kyrie last night. They will always be remembered together for, I guess, what has to be described as overwhelmingly the worst events of both of their careers from a basketball perspective, their ill-fated partnership in Brooklyn. Which one of them you think's got a better shot at winning a championship, Wendy, KD or Kyrie?
The Mavericks are better positioned to compete in the Western Conference right now. I think if you give the Suns another transaction cycle, we may have another discussion. But the thing about it is you really are going to have to play with size if you're going to win the Western Conference. I just don't see how you're getting through some of these teams, especially the Denver Nuggets, without being able to deploy a big lineup. The Suns just can't do it. The Mavericks moves at the deadline, brought in guys who can play big. Plus, they just got back Maxi Kleber, who I know isn't going to make any headlines, but is an important player to them. They're 7-0 since Kyrie came back into the lineup. His health is obviously important. And Luka Doncic, we gave all this attention to Joel Embiid when he was having that incredible scoring before his injury. Take a look at the numbers. He's averaging almost 35 a game himself. He's running away with the scoring title. They are a fascinating team, again, because they've added that size that they might need in certain matchups.
Yeah, Winnie, to put it in perspective, what Luka's doing right now, he's generating, I said 59 points earlier, I was off by a couple. It's 57.4 points per game. It's the highest in the history of this league that any player has generated on a nightly basis. That's what Luka is doing right now. I mean, just name another team that you can look at that's got this type of isolation players, this type of passing, this type of shooting, and then the lively, bouncy legs. They've got two lob runners in the middle. They've also got Derrick Jones. Like, they've got, to me, they've got everything it takes offensively to get it done. And defensively, good enough. They're not elite level defensively, but they're good enough when their offense is that good. Can't say it enough. And I said it before the trading deadline, but once they made those trades, Greeny, for me, that night, I said, this cements it for me. They are going to be scary going forward now that they've gotten more size in the middle and P.J. Washington is an upgrade over Grant Williams.
Well, that stat that Kemba just had up there, I mean, for those who know the history of the league, that Tiny Archibald, the only player ever to lead the league in scoring and assists in the same season. Luka is creating more points this year than Tiny Archibald did then, one of the most famous seasons in the history of the sport. All right, stay close. Stephen A. is going to jump in with some basketball conversation as we go, but we'll do football next. Justin says he wants this over. Here's good news for you, Justin. It will be. Any day now, our general manager will explain. Plus, Patriot games. Should the Pats pass on a quarterback and draft a star receiver instead? We'll talk about it next. Let's get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Back on Get Up. Before I go to anything else, from Florida Atlantic, this is Elijah Martin. Tim, how do we describe this dunk right here?
I'll describe it this way. Even if you drew the charge and got the call, it's not worth it. That's how I would sum that up, Greeny, right there. If you get there late, you get your feelings hurt, and that's exactly what happens here. Man, oh, man. He doesn't look very big either. How tall is he?
And it's a block, by the way. They called a block. You see the ref
in
the back.
Oh, that's even worse.
He's calling a block.
That's even worse.
Oh, my goodness. And the and one. By the way, where is Florida Atlantic again, Mike?
Boca Raton, Florida, Greeny. Tax-free Florida.
Yeah, Mike Tannenbaum heads over to their games all the time. All right, spectacular moment for Mr. Martin last night down in South Florida. All right, back to some football conversation here, guys. So our own Aaron Schatz has an article on ESPN.com today that details some bold moves each team this offseason might consider making. So let's go good idea or bad idea on some of these. Mike T, is it a good idea or a bad idea for the Chiefs to sign Mike Evans and draft a wide receiver?
Greeny, it's a good idea. Hebo gave me a great stat. As great as Patrick Mahomes was this year, he only had 11 tight window throws the entire season. And with Mike Evans, with legs here, he's a great basketball player above the rim. As long this idea works, as long as it doesn't cost us L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones, but if Mike Evans wants a meaningful chance at a ring, this is a win-win.
Yeah, look, there's no team in the league that wouldn't be better if they signed Mike Evans. Tim, let me go to you. Would it be a good idea or a bad idea for the... Oh, am I going to talk about that one briefly? All right, let's do it. Sorry, my bad. We were going to just touch on that one briefly there. The idea of the Chiefs doing that,
yeah,
of them signing Mike Evans and drafting a receiver. We all understand they need receiver help. We all understand they sort of made chicken salad, you know, yes, with what they had in the playoffs, and Mahomes and the defense won them a Super Bowl.
Right.
You could completely remake it right now, but the money is the complicated
part. Right, the cap space. They have other issues. Mike mentioned to Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed pending free agency. They have other pending free agents. They have other needs, frankly. They're going to need help on the offensive line as well. So, to me, it's a great idea, but in terms of practicality, it feels like a really good, am I right, a wide receiver draft. Like, even if you're picking 32, you might be able to get an impact guy there. And if that's the case, it may be that their free agent money, their outside money, better spent at tackle and other positions.
Yeah, and the book on this draft is that it is very good and deep at a wide receiver and offensive line. Those are the two positions to keep an eye on. All right, Hasselbeck, let me come to you next. Is it a good idea or a bad idea for the Patriots to stay at number three, draft Marvin Harrison Jr., and deal with the quarterback another time?
That's a bad idea. Look, I think when you look at what the future potentially is, you know, in New England, Mac Jones's rookie year was probably a pleasant surprise. He's gotten worse every year since, and I think it's obvious that he's not the future there. New regime, I think drafting a wide receiver, as talented as Marvin Harrison Jr. is, I think in some ways you're not going to get the most out of him, and then you're still trying to figure out what quarterback looks like a year from now, and who knows what that will be.
What do you think, Mike T?
Well, the caveat would be is if you could get him and a first-round pick, be it from Atlanta at 8 or the Giants at 6, now you're rebuilding with a young, talented player. I agree with Tim philosophically, which is if you're at 3, go take the quarterback. But if you move back and can do some volume, then a guy like Marvin Harrison makes them a lot better.
Well, if they move back, let's just say I've been proposing they move back to 6 and the Giants come up there. At 6, you will not get Marvin Harrison, we would not assume. Probably. But there are really good receivers in this draft. You might get Malik Nabers. You might get Rome Odunze. There are a lot of options. You want to rebuild your offensive line. There are great tackles. There's a great tight end in this draft. So trading back might make sense. Taking the receiver at 3
right.
is what would not.
Staying put at 3 and drafting a non-quarterback, I think, would be a mistake, given what the market likely would be for that number 3 pick.
That's exactly right. Graz, you've got the last one here. Is it a good idea or a bad idea, as was suggested by Aaron Schatz, for the Bears to keep Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams?
It's a bad idea because you have to coach it, right? Like, if you treat these guys simply as assets and all that, then sure, I can see how it makes sense to hold on to both quarterbacks. But it's a mean thing to do to your coaching staff and, frankly, to the players, because I think it hurts the ability to develop either one of them. And the rookie's going to need to develop on the job. And, frankly, Justin Fields needs to continue to develop.
Look, there was an old expression in football. If you've got 2 quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. And while I know things have changed a lot in this particular element, I think it would still apply. And our buddy RG3 weighed in on this, saying the Bears' decision with Fields will have a domino effect on the QB movement this offseason. Draft Caleb and trade Fields where? Keep Fields and trade the first pick. Who gives them a king's ransom? The Bears should trade the first pick and cut the drama. Mike T, you're shaking your head vigorously.
Yeah, it's called the salary cap. Go take Caleb Williams, who has a higher upside than Justin Fields. And I like Justin Fields a lot. He'll be a star of the league next year. But if we could get Caleb Williams-Greeny and reset the quarterback clock, again, these guys are making $55, $60 million a year. Ask John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan what it's like to have a rookie quarterback. Oh. It's Christian McCaffrey. It's Chase Young. That's why you keep the pick. They did an unbelievable job to have it. Don't overcomplicate it. Draft Caleb Williams. Trade Justin Fields.
Can I bring something up here quickly that I feel like hasn't been raised? And it pains me to give credit to Hembo, because we all know that down deep inside, he's just an evil man.
Right.
But he made a very good point yesterday. We have all attached Justin Fields to Atlanta and Pittsburgh. Well, if you go back to the draft in which he was taken, quarterbacks went 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
The team that was drafting 4th was Atlanta.
Yep.
They took Kyle Pitts. They could have taken Justin Fields.
Yep.
They didn't. Their general manager, Terry Fontenot, is still the general manager in Atlanta. Their head coach then, Arthur Smith, is now the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. These are two guys who had the option of choosing Justin Fields and chose not to. Does that suggest that maybe the obvious spots, Atlanta and Pittsburgh, aren't as obvious?
They also had the option at that time of hiring Raheem Morris as head coach, and they decided to hire Arthur Smith. So maybe they're fixing all the mistakes
all the things they got wrong
back then. So yeah, I don't think it means that they wouldn't do it. Obviously, if we go back to Kyle Pitts' draft, nobody thought that was a bad pick. Right? Like, that guy was seen as this generational talent. So, no, I don't think that makes any that has any bearing on what they would do.
What do you think, Mike T?
Yeah, it's also supply and demand. Like, what else are your options? And correct. Justin Fields, you know more about him today than you do 3 years ago. So they've learned. And, look, we'll see what Terry Fontenot does. But you juxtapose Desmond Ridder and Justin Fields, that's an easy decision. And it may come down to J.J. McCarthy at 8. and Justin Fields. So those are the things you're looking at.
I understand. It's just people like you, you GM types, tend not to like to admit you were wrong about things. And so,
Unlike guys like Rex Ryan, who sits here every week, who always admits what he's wrong.
Yeah, he generally tends to admit that you were wrong about most things. Hasselbeck, give me a very quick final word. Go.
Well, listen, I think it's also you're choosing between Kyle Pitts, who a lot of people thought was a kind of a generational tight end at a time where tight ends are creating the biggest mismatch problems in the National Football League. So it doesn't mean you didn't like Fields. It just means that you probably maybe thought it was a safer bet at that point, especially with how the rest of the quarterback class was looking.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, and then they did the worst of all possible things. They took Kyle Pitts and then refused to use him. So one way or another, that seems they could not possibly have mishandled that any more than they ultimately did. In the meantime, Stephen A. is ready to roll. Are the Warriors more likely to make a run in the West than the Lakers? Who is under the most pressure in the entire NBA as we head down the stretch? Stephen A. answers those questions and more next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Bottom of the hour, back on Get Up. The great Stephen A. Smith will join us live from Minneapolis in just a moment. But let's catch up on some of the NBA action last night. Knicks win again. How good do they look, Timmy Legler?
They look great. And they're deep. They got to get fully healthy to really see what their ceiling is. But this team can be scary good.
The champions, of course, continue to roll. Nikola Jokic, another triple-double. Do they remain the team to beat in your view?
Absolutely. The defending champs, and they're good enough to repeat. So you've got to say yes. Everything's got to go through them, and they've got to go through that particular player, Nikola Jokic.
And then Steph had a big night last night. Warriors beat the Lakers. No LeBron. Warriors suddenly getting hot at an interesting time, aren't they?
Yeah, they're humming right now. Everything's starting to click. Some guys are playing better that struggled earlier. They've made some lineup adjustments, and then they still have this guy who's spectacular every night.
All right, well, so this is a day that we are doing the Minnesota Timberwolves All Access, and, of course, smack dab in the middle of all of that is our own Stephen A. Smith, who was good enough to get up with us early this morning. He's been traveling all over the country, functioning on practically no sleep, but ready to roll because that's the way he is.
I'm ready.
So, Stephen A., we've been talking about, you know, LeBron and Steph, and you and I were together last year as we saw LeBron make that run from the play-in all the way to the Western Conference Finals. As you watch these two teams right now, if I told you one of them is going to make that run this year, Steph or LeBron, which one would you tell me it's going to be?
For me, it's Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. I know that you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, particularly considering their run last year to the Western Conference Finals. But Tim Legler, I'm going to say what I've been saying all year long. They can't shoot, and I can't rely on their shooting. Certainly, I can rely on the greatness of LeBron James. There's no doubt about that, and the greatness of Anthony Davis. And let's give Anthony Davis a lot of love because durability has been a question mark where he was averaging 28 missed games a year over the previous 4 years. This year, he's barely missed any games. I give him a lot of love and a lot lot of credit for that. And yes, I did lose my bet to Shannon Sharp. I owe him a dinner because he bet me that Anthony Davis wouldn't be missing games this year, and he's won the bet. But still in all, they're not the Golden State Warriors. I understand that double overtime loss they had against LeBron James several weeks ago when Steph dropped 46, but it still wasn't good enough. But I'm looking at the greatness of Steph Curry. I'm looking at the fact that they've been 9-3 since Draymond Green has come back from his suspension. I'm looking at the pace of play, how that's elevated. Pajinski, you pointed that out earlier in Get Up Legs, where they're moving the basketball significantly better with him on the court as opposed to Klay Thompson. And if you go back to the years when they were very, very successful, even though it wasn't that long ago, it wasn't just their sniper-like shooting that we applauded. It was their ball movement along with their defensive prowess. And then you see a guy like Kuminga, who's a young thoroughbred and a skywalker. You know what he can do athletically. You didn't have that before. To have that athleticism, to have the savviness and the knowledge and the efficiency of a Pajinski, with Steph Curry still looking like a superstar, with Draymond Green playing the best basketball I've seen him play over the last few years, to be quite honest with you, and with this inherent belief that I have that Klay Thompson will answer the call. Remember, guys, he might be shooting 41% from the field. He's shooting 37% from three-point range. Those are career worst. Tim Legler, you know this just as well as I do. There's at least 27 or 28 teams that would crave for a shooter shooting 37% from three-point range. So a bad year for Klay Thompson would be a decent year, if not a good year, for most teams with somebody at that position. I think as the season progresses, they only get more efficient, they only get more fluid, they only get more better, not worse, and I would go with the Golden State Warriors. I have no problem saying that.
What well, listen, do you think, Lance?
Yeah, I'm always going to give the Warriors a pulse, always. I'm never going to bury them as long as they have Steph Curry, because I'm never going to put anything past what he's capable of doing. My answer to this question, Stephen A., was that it's a coin toss, but I'd lean Lakers if I had to pick between these two teams. And here's why. I still think the one thing with Golden State that does rear itself, despite how well they're playing offensively, they are too small at times. And I think defensively it's an issue. It's also an issue securing important rebounds when they have to have it late in the game. You're going to need some size to make a legitimate run at this thing in the Western Conference. And that is where the Lakers, in the physical stature of a LeBron, of an Anthony Davis, the way that they can control their positions, just because of how big they are, how strong they are, how athletic they are, it's a different element than what the Golden State Warriors have. So, look, I don't know necessarily that either of these teams is going to get out of, say, a first-round series. I don't know that either of them are capable of it. But if I had to really put money on it this year, I probably would lean toward the Lakers because of LeBron and AD and just the physical size that they represent.
Stephen A., I want to show you something
well, listen,
else.
Go
ahead, Steve.
I don't have a problem with what Tim Legler, what Legs is saying, Greeny. Only this. This is the only problem that I'll challenge him on, Wendy, or anybody else. They keep forgetting this. See, we look at offense. We look at defense. We compartmentalize those two things, and in the same breath, we look at the size of a LeBron James and an Anthony Davis. I get that. You know what? If we're going to bring that up, why not bring up age? Why not bring up the fact that J.J. Redick comes on First Take and wants to educate the world with his cerebral brilliance, okay? When he's talking about spacing and pace of play and how you have to cover more of the court now than you ever did in the past. Well, last time I checked, as far as time comes creeping up on you, remember, LeBron James's hairline is just is fading just as much as mine. You know, I'm 56. That brother's in his 30s. He ain't reached 40 yet, but my hairline's about the same as his. I got some little, you know, thinness up top, just like he does, okay? Father time is creeping up on us. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and you look at the fact that you look at Pajinski and you look at Kuminga, and you the fact that Steve Kerr has those bodies available to them, you're talking about the position, being in a position to push the ball up the floor, increase pace of play, making you run more, being more efficient offensively. Bottom line, from long range, don't get me started with their free throw shooting. You take all of those things into consideration. That puts more pressure, not just on an opposing defense, but on an opposing offense to be even more efficient because you can't afford to make mistakes. Otherwise, Golden State will make you pay. People keep forgetting that. I don't.
See, we never know when we're going to see these guys for the last time on the big stage. Steph on one side, LeBron on the other. Maybe we get one more run. Stephen A., I really wanted to get your thoughts on this. I did a green list this morning of the five people, and I say people because one of them is not a player, who I think are under the most pressure as we go to the second half of the season here. Anthony Davis, because we all know how much depends on him. Zion Williamson, he's never played an NBA playoff game. His team is great. Jason Tatum, he wants to be the face of the league. He's got a chance to make it happen. Kevin Durant, he needs to win a championship. He needs for James Harden and Kyrie Irving not to go deeper in the playoffs than he does. But then at number one, I put Doc Rivers. Because if this thing implodes in Milwaukee, I think a lot of it is going to wind up at his feet. In your mind, who's under the most pressure to succeed as we go down the stretch?
Well, first of all, it's a couple of things, Greeny. Number one, you know, I love you dearly. You're my brother from another mother. But the bottom line is this, Greeny, your list is very poor, very poor. I don't like it at all. Okay, let's get that out of the way first. Number one, I agree with what Legg said earlier when he was talking about Damian Lillard. Now, I believe in Dame time all day, every day. And there's no doubt in my mind that whatever slump he's been experiencing over the last couple of months, he will get out of that. Dame responds when the pressure rises. I believe in that, brother. And I believe he will be just fine. And Giannis will be just fine. Will the rest of the team show up? That's the question mark. Chris Middleton hasn't looked the same. Portis hasn't looked the same, along with various others. Seemingly losing a Jrue Holiday and a Grayson Allen will come back to haunt this team more so than the ineffective play of a Damian Lillard, which I don't believe would last. But still in all, he has to be in that mix. Take Kevin Durant out of that list, please. When Bradley Beal and Devin Booker are on the court for a significant chunk of time, they win basketball games. If Bradley Beal is going to continue to be in and out because of injuries, you can't put that all on Kevin Durant, okay? He needs his horses. So I'm not going to look at that. Plus, he's a two-time champion and a two-time NBA Finals MVP. Even though there is some pressure, I'm not going to put that on him. Zion Williamson, it's not about his game. It's about how many burgers he's eating and whether or not he's going to be in shape, or is he going to keep eating McDonald's and have chefs clamoring for him to come to their restaurants. That's what he has to prove. That the chefs don't love him any longer, okay? That he's committed to playing basketball and being in shape. Outside of that, you look at New Orleans and you say to yourself, okay, they can have a chance, but you don't know about it. I look at James Harden needing to be on that list because of his doldrums in the postseason, in Philly last year, in Houston in years past. There's no escaping that. He's got to be on that list. There is no doubt about it. So I would take him off. And when you look at Doc Rivers, I'm not going to put him at number one. Does he belong on that list? Sure, because again, he took the job in the middle of the season. I don't think most coaches would have turned down an opportunity to go and coach to remain in the booth. I just don't see it that way. I think any coach would have done what he did, as wrong as it may be in some people's eyes. But Damian Lillard, to me, belongs on that list. But more significantly, it has to be James Harden. There is no doubt about that. If he shows up and plays, then all we're asking is whether or not Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are healthy, because the Clippers could win the West if James Harden shows up.
Well, and so that's the point. So if I were sitting with you on Countdown right now, with you and Wilbon in the old days and everything, I would say to you, if the Brooklyn trio, those three guys who came together, and it was such a colossal disaster of KD and Kyrie and James Harden, and all of a sudden Harden and the Clippers are in a conference final, and Legs is in love with what the Mavericks are doing right now, and the chemistry between Kyrie and Luka Doncic, and those teams make deep runs, and Kevin Durant's team gets left behind. What are you going to say?
Well, listen, again, it depends on the health. If Bradley Beal isn't available and it's just about Booker and KD and a bunch of supplementary parts nobody cares about, then I don't think that you really tarnish Kevin Durant in that way. You want to make sure they have the team available to them. But let's also be fair to Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. If James Harden isn't hurt, if Kyrie Irving doesn't twist his ankle and ends up out for the remainder of the playoffs because they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks in that seven-game series, I believe the Brooklyn Nets win the championship that year. I believe they win that series over Milwaukee. Remember, there was like a game two or three where they won by 50, okay? I think they would have beaten Milwaukee that series. They certainly would have beaten the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't think Booker and CP3 with the, you know, periodically comatose DeAndre Ayton at the time, I don't think Phoenix wins the championship. championship over Brooklyn either. I think Brooklyn wins the championship. And so for me, I'm going to hold on to that because I remember KD. I had predicted on First Take that very morning that KD was going to drop 50 in that game five. He had 49 and missed a free throw in the last minute that would have gave him 50. And that's the only reason he didn't make me a profit that particular evening. But in the end, KD showed up. He just didn't have any help. We know what he can do. We know what he's capable of. And I'm not sleeping on his career and how exceptional he has been. Kyrie looks spectacular in Dallas right now. That beautiful layup last night. He's just a magician. He's something special. But is with him, it's about availability. And that's what it comes down to. I like what I see in Dallas as well. But how available are they going to become postseason time? That's the question mark.
All right, and then quickly and finally, the team that does not get the attention because they don't have the pedigree is Minnesota. And today is our Minnesota All Access, and you'll be with the Timberwolves all day long. I know you'll have Karl-Anthony Towns today in the first hour of First Take. What exactly are the Timberwolves right now, who have been as good as anybody in the West all year long?
Well, number one, they're the top defensive team in terms of defensive efficiency in the game. Cat and Karl-Anthony Towns and obviously Rudy Gobert have seemed to figure things out defensively. Credit Coach Finch with what's transpiring there. Number two, they've been one of the healthiest teams in the league. You're talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley Jr., Anthony Edwards, all playing 50 or more games this year. You got to give credit where credit is due. Clearly, they're taking their conditioning seriously, and they've been durable and healthy. Number three, Anthony Edwards is a superstar in the making. He's got all the tools, y'all. He's got all the tools. He can shoot. He could improve on it, but he can shoot already. He can certainly take it to the hole. He's got an NBA body. He's a skywalker. And most importantly, his attitude. The only blemish I've seen from him mentally was showing up to All-Star Weekend, playing around, shooting stuff with his left hand instead of recognizing the fact that just surrounded by a bunch of All-Stars, the weekend was yours to claim. I thought he missed something there, but it ain't really a big deal in the grand scheme of things. This brother is a superstar in the making, okay? He's got the personality to sell the superstardom that he's tinkering towards. He's that dude. You got steadiness at the point guard spot with Conley. You got size and Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns, which is something you're going to need against Jokic. I like what I'm seeing from the Minnesota Timberwolves, but they're relatively young. Let's see how successful they're going to be moving forward. But they are not to be ignored because they are top defensive. They are the top defensive team in the NBA right now. There's something
we'll be seeing
to look out
them
for.
All day long with our All Access, including on First Take. Stephen A., thank you for getting up for us. I know it was a crazy night for you. Timberwolves All Access Day on ESPN will end with the T-Wolves part of a doubleheader tonight. Cavs, Sixers, then Giannis and the Bucks taking on Minnesota. Coverage starts with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, we'll get back to football here in a minute. Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, one Steeler legend, is not on board. You will hear from Terry Bradshaw on that after we hear from Graziano on this. Which NFL team has the longest active losing streak in the playoffs? The answer is next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, back on Get Up. Not sure I love the question, but we'll see. Sneaky Hembo, which NFL team has the longest active losing streak in the playoffs? So that's most consecutive losses, right. not the longest since they've won a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the news in January when the playoffs were going on. I think it was the Lions, and then they won a game, and I'm pretty sure the new, you know, title holder here is the Miami Dolphins, who haven't won one since, I think, the year 2000.
You're unbelievable. That's correct. I mean, you are really unbelievable. It is the Dolphins have lost six consecutive playoff games.
I said six, right?
It was six. The Steelers and Commanders have each lost five straight. Yeah. So it is Miami. He tries to trick you with a practically impossible question, and you just take him down.
It was in the news. Like, it was on, like, I saw that somewhere last month when the playoffs were going on.
Here's what.
I pay attention.
Let me give you some more news. What is the score now? Graziano v. Hembo. What do we have?
I think it's ugly. I think he doesn't even want to show it.
11-4 early in the year, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. Okay, let us get now to something else. I want you to hear what Terry Bradshaw said yesterday. Oh, we're doing what happens if? Okay, so let's do what happens if. Tim, what happens if the Jets trade for Devontae Adams?
It's not pandering here, Greeny. I think they're a Super Bowl contending team. They already have one really good wide receiver. I think this adds another one. Look, do they need offensive line help? Yes. They have a great defense, and I think Aaron Rodgers kind of helps that offensive line situation by the way he gets rid of the football.
Okay, I like absolutely everything you're saying. Mike T, let me come to you next. What happens if Saquon Barkley winds up with the Cowboys?
They won a playoff game, Greeny. They are better on offense. This is an upgrade over Tony Pollard, and that's assuming that they have everyone back, meaning CeeDee Lamb, Dak, Micah. They got to figure out left tackle with Tyron Smith being a free agent. But Saquon Barkley in that offense, his pass protection's gotten better, and he's dynamic in space like Pollard. But he's bigger and stronger and better.
Grounds, let me go to Pittsburgh next. What happens if Justin Fields winds up traded to the Steelers?
Well, I think it makes them a lot more difficult team to play, right? They're running, even if they want to base it around the running game with those great running backs they have and Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, the running game becomes so much more dynamic with Justin Fields there. And if he develops at all as a passer, then they've got a real high ceiling prospect. So they were already a playoff team this past year with really almost nothing at quarterback. So you would presume he'd be an upgrade. They always have a winning record. I think you got to put him in the playoff.
Well, their quarterback was for much of the year Kenny Pickett, though he did have the injury problems. The greatest Steeler quarterback of them all, of course, is Terry Bradshaw. He was on with our friend Rich Eisen yesterday. He said the Steelers should not be giving up on Pickett.
I'm going to say this for the 10,000th time this year. Surround not only Kenny, but any of these young quarterbacks, the kid and with the Bears, surround them with talent. They're going to beat him up, and they're going to want to trade for Fields in Chicago, and I say that's a huge mistake. You don't need Fields. Stay with what you got. Just build him up. Get him as a receiver. Get him an explosive tight end. Have the ability to protect him.
What do you think of that, Mike T?
I totally disagree. I mean, I've been very fortunate to work with some great defensive minds, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, and I'm just telling you, like, being around those guys every day, Justin Fields would keep them up at night way more than Kenny Pickett. What does Kenny Pickett do that strikes fear in the opposing side, where Justin Fields is explosive, he's a better athlete, stronger arm, better playmaker. And to me, the interesting part of this discussion is you put Fields with those weapons, which he's never had in Chicago. What does that look like?
Yeah, that's the point, is Pickett felt like he should have been ready-made, Tim, coming out of college where he played so much, and he did walk into a pretty good team with pretty good weapons at receiver, with a very good tight end, with two good running backs. It sounds to me like Terry is saying you've invested in him, stick with him, and watch him get better. Do you see it that way?
I don't see it that way. Listen, George Pickens, Jalen Warren, Pat Freiermuth, you're right. There's a good supporting cast in Pittsburgh. Through 2 years, Pickett's thrown 13 touchdowns and 13 picks. He was a ready-made prospect, older than I think all of the quarterbacks that were drafted the year prior to him. He was supposed to come in and be ready to go. He was not a developmental, high-ceiling prospect. That's not who he was. I think we've seen enough at this point in an upgrade at the position, I think, is necessary. I don't believe you can go into the season with him as the presumed starter as you get to training camp.
What do you think? Quick final word, Graz.
I mean, agreed on all these points, and I think Fields helps them think bigger on offense, which is something they absolutely have to do after the last couple of years.
Yeah, he is. I'm just making sure that – yeah, he is older. He's yeah. He is a year older. Kenny Pickett is a year older than – Justin Fields is 24 years old. That's something that I don't think we pay nearly enough attention to. If he was available right now in the second round, every team in the league would take him.
Tim made this point earlier. The Bears are not – if they do, not dumping Justin Fields because they don't think he can play, they would be dumping Justin Fields because they think they get something better at number one.
Yeah, they have the first pick in the draft based on a trade they made with Carolina, and thus history becomes rewritten. First Take is coming up. Stephen A. and company are ready to roll. How much pressure is there on Giannis to win a title? Carl Anthony Towns will be live. First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Windy, Big Perk, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
The PFL champions square off against the Bellator champions tomorrow. Prelims begin noon Eastern on ESPN News and ESPN Plus in English and Spanish. With the main card of 3 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order, go to ESPNplus.com/PFL. All right, we're headed off to Indianapolis for the Combine. Is that our next stop?
No, I'll be here Monday and Tuesday before I go.
Very good. You?
I'll be in Indy.
Wheeling and dealing?
Yeah, listening, yeah.
A little shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo?
Emergency shrimp cocktail. Here we go.
Baby. All right, have a great weekend. First Take starts now.